The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Keynote by CNBC Events. I'm Tyler Matheson. On this podcast, we bring you in-depth, candid conversations with executives, experts, and thought leaders. On this episode, you'll hear from NBA champion and entrepreneur Kevin Durant. He shares how his success on the basketball court has led to success off the court and the business goals he's shooting for next. My colleague Andrew Ross Sorkin spoke with Durant at the Game Plan Sports Business Summit, hosted by CNBC and Durant's media company, Boardroom. Here's their conversation.
You don't need an introduction, but I want to read you something because I do think it's a bit of an introduction to you, and I want to get your reaction to this. This is from the New York Times 2 years ago. If any player has ever looked more natural or graceful on a basketball court, I have never seen him. Durant's keynote is ease. Just look at him right now. He moves with a pure, unforced economy of motion, a frictionless glide that makes him look almost indifferent to the action around him. And I thought about that sentence, and I thought to myself, that doesn't just describe Kevin Durant on the court. That describes Kevin Durant off the court.
Yeah, I feel like, that's his job is to fabricate, to glamorize some stuff. But what I do is not that. I don't look at it that way.
You don't look at it that way?
No,
how do you
I don't.
Look at it? You don't think it's easy?
Because it didn't feel that easy as I was, crafting and getting up to this point. It didn't feel like it just came natural. A lot of people was like, yo, you were born to be a basketball player. I was like, how do you know what I was born with? You know what I'm saying? I felt like I had to acquire this through hard work and obviously dedication to what I do, but it doesn't feel that way, to be honest.
So I went back May 6, 2014. You know what happened on that day?
Remind me.
MVP speech.
Oh, yeah.
MVP speech. You made me cry on that day, and you made me cry again this morning as I watched it.
Oh, you watched it again?
I watched it again. And you talked about your mother, and you talked about wanting to be a rec league coach. That's what you thought your career was going to be. And you said something that I thought actually was quite profound that might not feel profound to people here, but if you think about what he was saying in 2014, you said basketball is just a platform for me to inspire people. You know, a lot of athletes think that they're supposed to win on the court, they're supposed to do stuff, but you said it differently. You said it's a platform for me to inspire people. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah, for sure.
What did you mean?
Who we are is what we consume on the day-to-day, I feel. And the NBA is a part of what people consume for the last, since the 70s? So what I've seen on TV, I try to emulate every day, whether it's from my fate from watching Martin or watching Michael Jordan, or what I've seen, what I consume, whether it's on TV, my parents, my friend, I try to be like, I try to craft and make this being that I am today. So I know I'm on a huge platform, which is the NBA, and if you want to spend your time watching us amongst all the other stuff that you got going on in your life, I feel like it's on me to go out there and showcase the most natural, part of who I am on the floor. And I feel as though other basketball players, other people aspiring to be or be good at a craft, they may look at me and...
Well, can I ask you a question? It's a personality question. And I think everyone who knows him and has seen him, there's a humility about him, even the way you walk. I would argue there's a humility about it. It's different than people who feel, and I think you have as authentic a claim as anybody as being one of the best basketball players in the world. But when you think about whoever you think is the best basketball player in the world, you think about a bravado. You think about and you think about wanting to be out there. And I think you've taken a different path. At least that's my sense of it. I don't know if that's on purpose. I don't know if I'm wrong. What do you think of that?
I always felt solitude when I was in the gym, you know, and I try to keep it at that, you know. And in this life, you get thrusted in positions where you're doing stuff like this. You in crowds and rooms that you never really thought you'd be in. But I always knew what the main thing was. I love doing the extracurricular things. I like going out and having a good time and doing stuff like experiencing new things. But to the core, it's always been about that main thing. And it's for me, it's continuing to keep crafting my skill as a basketball player, as simple as that. I think that feeds everything that I do. So regardless of what may come with being successful as a basketball player, I know if I don't keep working at what I'm doing, I can easily lose this skill and talent or whatever you want to call it. But I just feel as though, you know, I got to keep working at the main thing.
But speak to this. Something happened at some point. You hooked up with Rich. You decided to become an investor. You decided, I would argue, to at some point even slim down some of the endorsement deals so you were focused in a way.
Yeah.
When did that happen? What happened to you when you said, you know what, I'm not gonna have every brand attached to me. I'm only gonna do this, and this, and I'm gonna have a concerted effort.
Well, it started off very simple. I liked my time, and I liked, and a lot of that stuff was time consuming, you know, 6-hour shoots and flying to different places. My summer was filled with obligations from partners, and I just asked Rich one day, like, do I have to do all this shit? Like. And he was just like, no, but it was just that simple. And I just liked having the time to think about what I wanted to think about, and which was the game of basketball, to be honest. Like, I felt like a lot of that stuff was distracting me from actually truly locking in to what my true passion was, which was playing the game. And then me and Rich always talked about, you know, my interest off the floor and how we can expand that and make it work with the inside of, you know, my routine as a basketball player. But that took a lot of crafting over the years.
How much does thinking about what team you're on and what market you're in matter to you? You've been on 4 different teams now.
Yeah.
By the way, 4 different, I think you were 4 different teams in high school too, right?
Yeah.
How much though did you say to yourself, okay, the New York market is that, you know, if I'm going to be out on the West Coast, that's going to be a different thing. If I'm going to be in Arizona, that's going to be different. How much did that matter? How much did you think about that versus what the team could bring, the opportunity for a ring, what that could bring?
Yeah. It just felt like it all just worked out. I always thought about what's the best place for me to continue to hone my skill every day, craft my routine every day. Who do I want to be around at work? That's how simple it was. And when I went to Golden State, the team aspect just worked. And then we, off the floor, it was so many, you know, Warrior fans that I didn't know that had ties everywhere that, you know, so we connected it, you know, just from being at Warriors games, we started to grow our business from there and starting to meet new people from there. And then Rich was already in New York, so I felt like I had ties there as well. I wanted to be in New York, live in New York, play in New York. And so it just all worked out. I wouldn't say I necessarily think about a market or anything, because I feel as though what we've done is just transcended all of that type of stuff. I feel like you can get what you want to get out of this life wherever you are, and if you actually.
What was the was being on the Warriors in terms of the entrepreneurial side of your life? I mean, you now have investments in so many different companies, some of whom are represented in this room.
Yeah.
How much of that came from that experience of being around Silicon Valley and a group of people who sort of looking to change the world in that way?
Yeah, a lot of it started there. Obviously, you got dreams and goals before that, but when you start to connect the dots and meet people, it started there. And, you know, like I said, the common ground was basketball. Everybody loves to come to a Warrior game. So the people that came to those games, we just built relationships from there, and it just grew from there, you know. And I do my part in keeping the brand alive on the court and doing my thing on the court, and Rich does his part, you know, and doing
what he does. How often do you and Rich, it sounds like you guys talk all the time, but how often does he bring you something that you say, I don't see it? How often does he bring you something you say, I don't see it, or the opposite?
Yeah, we always push back at one another for sure. I think that's good in the dynamics of a relationship.
You playing pickleball?
Yeah, he got me into pickleball for sure. I like somebody said earlier, you look at pickleball, you don't really think it's anything until you go on the court and you see everybody having a great time and so many people from all ages can play. So it was one of the things that I pushed back on early, but he was just like, yo, just come check this out with me. And you see where it's going now. So it's a lot of stuff that we may push back on.
Were the things that were obvious to you? I mean, you guys made an early investment in Coinbase.
Yeah.
I mean, crypto before people were really doing that.
Yeah. Rich just has such a bright mind and innovative mind that, you know, he's seeing what's coming. We have conversations about, you know, we read articles and we see the headline. We stay afloat on what's going on, you know, in the sports business world. And, you know, so we always have conversations on what we can do and how we can, you know, inject what we do into things. And so it's always a flowing conversation, always, you know. So, you know, it's probably some stuff that's in the works right now that we didn't finish the conversation on, but I'm sure to come back up soon.
We were talking in this last panel about social media and about media. I joked, but not really, that you run NBA Twitter.
I do.
Do you like doing that?
Yeah, I do. I feel like, obviously, I do. But I like engaging with the fans. Like when I'm out, when I'm playing, when I'm working out before a game, I may, you know, as fans that's watching this play, I always enjoyed that part of it. And I feel like this is another unique way to engage with fans. Like, come on now, you get an opportunity to tweet at your favorite players, and like they might respond back to you. You get to get an inside look at who they are, get to tap into what they're thinking. Like, I would have loved that as
a fan. Does it ever get to you though?
No. At first, like, I heard Paolo and Jalen say they turn their phones off.
Yeah, they don't want to see it.
And I tried to do that, but
hate can be real.
Yeah, but when I turned my phone off or deleted the app, I was still thinking about what they may say. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, let me just dive right in and just say, like, just, like, let me, whatever you got to say about me, let me hear everything you got to, every joke you got to say about me. You know, criticize my game. Like, I just felt like I've become more at peace with being an NBA player once I just dove into the criticism or the negativity, which is social media. And I've learned how to manage it. And it also has some, you know, the NBA Twitter, whoever, fans of NBA Twitter, we've had some good dialogue and, you know, they've grown to know who I am a little bit more. So yeah, I think it all helps.
Do you like Elon's Twitter or the former Twitter?
I like all of it. I like
no different for you?
It's no different. I don't feel like we're all connected with one another, and I think that's
But you're on Threads now too, I heard.
I'm on everything, bro. Instagram, Threads.
You like Threads?
It's cool. It's cool. It's another way to get the thoughts off. It's always good to see what people are thinking.
How many burner accounts do you have?
One, probably. Yeah, I got
one. On Twitter or Threads or which one?
Yeah, on both.
Is it findable? On both.
All three, actually. No, it's not findable.
It's hard to switch.
Right, I think when people look at burner accounts, they look at me as I'm going on just being a demon-like troll. But I'm really just, I got so many followers on Instagram that it's just hard to really talk to the people that I really want to talk to. You know?
It's for that. This isn't to go on and pretend you're somebody else.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. I'm actually me on these pages, but it's just not. It's a small group.
If the UFC does a Zuckerberg Musk cage match, would you go?
I would definitely go to see that.
And now that we can bet on these things, which
I would take Zuckerberg. I would take Zuckerberg because he actually practices. So I think he win pretty easily.
How much do you think about your own personal brand? Do you think about that?
Not a lot. I just try to be authentic to me. Every day I wake up, and whoever sees me, they see me for who I am. I know who I am.
Right.
So like, I don't try to do anything outside of that. If you enjoy watching me play, cool. If you don't, that's fine too. Like, I'm one of those guys.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You did a lifetime deal with Nike.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that. So when you did this deal, this lifetime deal, how involved were you? How involved are you in the creation of the shoe, thinking about the shoe, thinking about what the shoe is going to look like in the future and whether it's going to work in this new world? We were talking about fashion.
Yeah.
On court, off court. For a very long time, I would argue a lot of your shoes were very technical.
They still are.
They still are. I'm not saying they're not technical, but but I'd say this newest version, I think, has a off-court piece to it.
Yeah, Nike, I mean, that's the biggest brand in the world, especially athlete brand in the world. I mean, you want to be a partner with them. And this is we're on 16. I mean, it's getting I got so many now, I'm starting to forget, but we have 16 or 17 shoes now.
You've done probably $2 billion worth of sales. Before we sat down here.
That sounds good. But the beauty of it now is like having a lifetime deal is like you really can create from ground zero. You know, we can really create from the sole of the shoe and build up from there and tell the stories that we want to tell with the biggest brand in the world. Like, it was a goal of mine to get this done. And, you know, me and Rich talked about this over and over again. Like, so many days we talked about this over. That's the first thing we talked about when we got on the phone. So to see it come to life and to actually be a real thing, it was special. So it's a lot of potential there with my shoes. It's, you know, because I've been around so long, so I want to keep building that. That's a part of the legacy that people talk about.
So what's that going to be? If we were sitting here 10 years from now, 20 years from now, what do you see that brand being in connection with Nike?
I just hope people wear my shoes. I hope ballers still rocking my shoes at that point. Really, that's what it should be about. Just, you know, when you go into it, wherever you're buying your shoes at, I'm sure in 20 years it's going to be the next biggest star in the NBA. But just like now, you still may pick a Jordan out or a Penny Hardaway out. I want to be on that. I just want to be considered when you walk in the Foot Locker in 20 years, you know?
We had a number of owners on this stage today.
Mm-hmm.
And you have said, and I think Rich has said, that you would one day love to be an owner of an NBA team.
I feel like everybody in here says that.
What do you think you have to do to make that happen?
You gotta have a lot of capital for one. having good people. I mean, that's all you heard when you hear these guys speak up here is about having good people around and empowering the people around you to, you know, be the best that they can be. And that's really been a common denominator from just talking.
Is there a specific team in a perfect world?
No, it's not. No, I wouldn't say. No.
Bring a team back to Seattle, maybe?
Yeah, that would be cool for sure. I mean, in a perfect world, but I can't be. Whatever opportunity comes up, hopefully I can be a part of something special. But yeah, Seattle would be the ideal spot. You know, they deserve to have a team there again, and I would love to be a part of NBA in that fashion. But we'll see.
Do you think there can be more teams right now? You think there should be more teams?
It can be. The NBA is so huge, but I don't know if other owners would want to split that up amongst new teams. You know, things are going so well. But, yeah, I feel like it could be, four or five new teams. Everybody loves basketball. And what these franchises do to a city, I was a part of an expansion-like franchise in OKC. And to see where that city was in 2008, 2009, and to see where it is now is like, four or five skyscraper buildings that I would never thought would be there. Resort-like hotels, trolleys through the city, that like stuff that I would have never seen. And I feel like a lot of that is because of the injection of a sports franchise into that city. So I feel like a lot of cities around the United States are probably calling Adam Silver to bring a team to their to their city. So yeah, I mean, it'll be important going forward. And it'd be cool to see which cities get a team.
You mentioned Oklahoma. Personal question. What was the lesson of that when you left?
Lesson for who?
For you. All of the commotion, all of the upset and frustration.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you had to ask those people who felt a way about it. I don't think I learned a lesson. It's just another, just part
Isn't
of the journey.
It so interesting to have people who love you that much?
It is pretty weird. at some point, at certain points, because I don't truly actually know these people. They don't know me. But I plan on this platform of the NBA, I know that you can admire people that are on TV a lot. I mean, that's just been embedded in our culture since the 1900s. It's just glorifying what you see on TV. But, it's a little different when, you actually know somebody. So, yeah, some of the stuff is weird, but especially when you get to the older generation of people. Right. But the kids who, it's pretty cool to see the kids look up to us.
What do you think of the compensation deals in the NBA right now? We were just talking about the Celtics earlier, this deal. I mean, some of these numbers.
I love to see it. It's only good. It's definitely going to inspire more people to go pick up a ball and be active and try to, become basketball players. I mean, all of that stuff adds to just pushing the game forward, I think.
Do you ever think of all this stuff, though, splintering up? And when I say splintering up, one of the things we saw in golf, it's different because it's an individual thing. But I've always wondered whether someone would come along and say, hey, let's call KD and Steph and a couple other guys, and we'll start like a 3-on-3 league.
In Saudi Arabia?
Maybe. Maybe.
No, I'm just joking.
Or maybe not.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe a joke, maybe not a joke.
Maybe not, yeah.
What do you think of that? I mean, do you think can multiple leagues exist, do you think, or multiple things happen like that?
Like I said, you have to have capital. I mean, it's LeBron and Steph can say, yeah, we're going to play 3-on-3s, but where are we going to play it at? And how are we going to get people to watch? Like, are we going to do all that work ourselves? Like, it'd be tough to compete with such a monster like the NBA. But money does talk. You never know what can come from it. Right. But I don't see anything else like that happening.
Right. Okay. So I got. I don't know if it's a tough question. Maybe it's an easy question. You seem very relaxed right now. And I don't know if anybody who watched.
Relaxed?
Excuse me. You seem very relaxed.
Okay. Good.
No, in a good way.
Okay.
But I'm saying this because you did an interview with David Letterman.
Yeah.
And you were very relaxed.
I feel like I'm always relaxed.
Well, but you had said you were even more relaxed than normal, because you were high at the time.
Yeah.
And so, how you doing right now?
I'm pretty good.
Good. Okay. I mean, it's just us, or is it?
It's always just us.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is because you also, by the way, invested in a number of cannabis companies.
Yeah.
And I'm so curious about your decision to be public about that, and does Adam Silver call you up and say?
No,
hey,
I actually called him and advocated for him to take marijuana off the banned substance list. I just felt like it was becoming a thing around the country, around the world, that it was the stigma behind it wasn't as negative as it was before. It doesn't affect you in any negative way. So I just felt like it was.
And what did Adam tell you when you said this to him?
He agreed. And you see where we're.
Well, now they've actually told players you can invest and you can smoke and everything else, I think.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, definitely marijuana is.
But you were a pioneer, if you will.
I wouldn't call myself a pioneer. Not at all. But
a public pioneer. How about that?
I wouldn't say that either. but. I just enjoy the plant. I mean, as simple as that. And
What did you tell Adam? How did you persuade him?
Well, he smelled it when I walked in. So I didn't really have to say much. You know what I'm saying? He kind of understood where this was going. And then, I mean, it's the NBA, man. Everybody is like, everybody does it, to be honest. It's like wine at this point.
You know what? On that note, let's open up to questions, because I know a lot more people have good questions for this gentleman to my right. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We've got microphones around the stage, and what a privilege it is to sit with one of the greatest basketball players of our time. Let's go right back here.
Hi, I'm Daniel from Ottawa, Canada. And my question is, going back to your social media statement that you kind of go and on every platform you're posting and you're kind of getting out there. So when you do buy an NBA team, my question is, would you expect the same from your team members is to work just as hard and make sure that they're posting, because it seems like not every team member is going to be posting, but would you have that expectation?
If you got the urge to post, then post. That's the formula I take. I mean, it's not scheduled or anything. I just, most of the time, just wake up and just do it. So if you feel the urge to do so, then yeah, I encourage that, you know, obviously if it's respectful. But yeah, I mean, it's really on the individual.
How often do you delete them?
I delete them a lot just to troll people, because they starting to catch on that, they call me like a guy that deletes his posts, I guess, whatever they want to call that. But yeah, that's why I delete them, to troll.
To troll them?
Yeah.
I like that. Okay, it's trolling the trolls. I think we got a question back here.
What's going on, guys? Great discussion. My name is Osamuel J. I'm not sure if anyone asked any questions pertaining to AI. What kind of impact do you think it's going to have on, you know, the NBA and the players?
Great question.
AI? I don't see it truly having any impact on the players. I mean, I think you start to see more around AI more in the arenas, and the fan experience, the in-arena experience might change at these games, but I don't see how it can affect the players individually. But AI is taking over fast around the world, I'm sure. And I'm sure it'll creep into the NBA at some point.
You play with ChatGPT?
I have, actually. I don't know, you could write a whole thesis on there, like a whole paper on there. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty crazy. Rich Kleiman, I saw you had a hand up, but you get to talk to this guy all the time, but you probably have a better question than I do.
You want to ask me a question?
I didn't, but I will.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
How do you enjoy talking to someone like Andrew Sorkin at this point in your career? You've been doing these things for so long. You've experienced so much. I've watched you. But seeing this event and talking to Andrew and getting the perspective of what we've built, it'd be exciting to hear how you've kind of seen all this come together.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see how many people here are supporting and wanting to build with one another, and the environment that we created is... It's fun to be a part of. I don't really like talking a lot like this, but like if this is a perfect setting, you make everything so comfortable. You know, so everybody's here is just paying attention and locked in. So yeah, it's sweet to be here, man. I'm excited.
Excellent. We're gonna follow that mic right there.
Good evening, Brian Hines from Putting Them In. Thank you for having us today. Great job, Rich and Kevin. Question for you: the concept of storytelling was talked about earlier today, and how players are able to tell their story off the court. You two have done an amazing job with your show Swagger. Been watching it over the past season and this season. Kind of what's your, I guess, obviously it's a story about your life, but kind of your thought process behind that, growing the Swagger brand and then also helping athletes within your circle kind of grow their story off the court, similar to what you've done.
Yeah, I mean, so many stories to tell amongst this journey as a reaching it to becoming an NBA player. And Swagger is one of those stories that you hear in the locker room all the time from my team. I heard from my teammates from all over the league of their experiences of playing in the AAU system. And I just thought that'd be a story that can connect with a lot of different people. And I think that's part of our journeys of being an NBA player, is not only just playing, but letting people know what it's like to get to this point. So in cool ways, we try to do it with docs and shows and podcasts and stuff like this. But I think having a show like Swagger, where we've seen this from day one into where it is now, it's amazing to see the reception it's got and the following it's getting right now. And then it's the authenticity of each and every episode. So hopefully more and more people start to lock into it. Thanks for watching too, brother.
It's a great show. It is a great show. I see a whole bunch of hands, and we have a microphone on this side.
Hi, thank you. Troy Mullins at Live Golf. I guess as my question is for college athletes, you know, working on and honing your craft is really important, but how important will it be to build your character? And will that kind of outweigh or be as equal to your talent in some way?
Yeah, most definitely.
Especially for women in sports.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, character is... most of it. I mean, that's what's going to get you up to work on your game in the first place. And I think that's what people see the most. Even when you're silently working on what you want to work on, people can still hear you and feel your presence, and I think that's a part of your character, and that's something that you have to bring with you every single day. And the ones that are consistent with that are the ones that are successful.
That was NBA champion Kevin Durant. He joined us at the Game Plan Sports Business Summit, hosted by CNBC and Boardroom, on July 25th, 2023, in Santa Monica, California. The Keynote is produced by the CNBC Events team. If you enjoyed this conversation, please share with your friends. You can visit cnbcevents.com to learn about upcoming events and how you can join us. I'm Tyler Matheson. Thanks for listening.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.